You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We got bombarded with tweets. Yo, tell CC he needs to be the new pitching coach.
Yeah, right. Fuck that. I'm not being no coach.
Oh, man.
I was fucking around with Carlos during the playoffs, and I knew he was going to get that Mets job.
Yeah.
So I walked by and was like, yo, pitching coach. And like the way he looked at me, I had to be like, no, ladies, wait. Listen, I was just fucking around.
All right, we are back. Another episode of R2C2, and this is a different locale for where we've recorded before. See, we're actually in my home recording this episode, man.
We're at the crib.
We're at the crib, man. Why not? You know, like this is we're in the off season. Sometimes you gotta get creative. So, welcome to my home, man.
For sure, appreciate it, man.
Yeah, it's good. It's good having you here. So we are going to. We'll let the audience know that. This will be our last ep for a few weeks. C's got some travels, you know, some Thanksgiving travel. Coming up. Got
to get my shoulder fixed.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The whole deal. So they're going to go in and do everything?
Yeah, I think we're going to fix everything.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't talked to Dr. Amaya since the season ended, but just sitting here, just the way I've been feeling, not sleeping, like it's been sore.
I can tell you're like, you know,
man,
constantly
moving it around
and stuff.
Yeah, sore.
But so... I mean, still, like, you haven't been able to sleep with it? What do you do for this whole period of time?
Man, I sleep like 3 or 4 hours a night. I'm exhausted.
Oh, my gosh, so, man. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just time to get it done. Like, you know, it's easy for me to fall asleep, but as soon as I fall asleep and, like, I'll, you know, move it around, I feel like a sharp pain and I'm up the rest of the night. Like, it's crazy. It's been going up and down my neck, too. You know, we'll get it fixed and be back on the pod.
That's it. December 5th will be the next episode. So you can put it in your calendars or just remember it mentally.
Like I got something to do that day.
Really?
Like something.
Well, that's when it will release. We'll record before that. But, you know, maybe look it up anyway.
Yeah,
you know?
I feel like, let me look at my calendar.
Yeah,
I feel like December 5th is something big for you?
Well, we'll record the 2nd, 3rd, or 4th.
The 6th is my Boys and Girls Club Christmas
party. Nice, man.
And I love doing that Christmas party. We get 52 kids from the Boys and Girls Club that are doing well in school and around the club, and we bring them to Jersey. This year we're doing RPM Raceway.
Oh, sick. Where you did your birthday?
Where I did my birthday.
Nice.
And we give them, you know, what did we give them last year? Gosh, we've been giving them bikes, PlayStations, laptops, all kind of different stuff. But it's just fun to be able to, you know, have these kids, bring these kids and have like a Christmas party and... So I knew that was like a big day for me.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Yeah. That's so cool. Will you dress up as Santa?
Nah. Yeah. I don't dress up. A lot of these kids I've been knowing for a long time now.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've been here 11 years. This is the 10th year of the party. This is the 11th year of the party. So I've watched a lot of these kids grow up.
You know what I mean?
So some of the kids come back as counselors and, you know, get to see them, you know, interact with some of the younger kids. It's a lot of fun, man. It's cool to see. To be around these kids and see them grow up and not just kind of throw money at them
and
you know, give them a gift. You get to see them year to year and hang out with them and see their progressions.
That's got to be so cool and rewarding to see them grow up and know like, hey, you know, you had some kind of role in being there for them, you know? Like,
yeah, I mean, or just seeing them do well, graduate from high school, go to college, come back and work at the club.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's about. So, it's awesome to be a part of that process.
That is sick, man. Well, hey, there's a ton of, I mean, there's so much going on right now in the sports world, in the baseball world, off season for us
man,
to dive
fuck
into.
Baseball. Baseball's over with. Fucking basketball.
Did you
basketball, football season,
oh,
bro.
Man. Did you watch the World Series?
No. I was trying to because I'm, you know, I'm an analyst now for ESPN.
I
was expecting to get a lot of questions and shit.
Yeah.
And I tried to watch game 6 and 7 and it was NBA games on, cuz I couldn't even do it.
No,
that
come
shit
on,
is so
man.
Hard to watch on TV.
But not a game 6
it's
or 7
boring.
Though. Boring. Not those games though.
Man, you know, have you ever been to Toronto?
Yeah.
And you know, like, you watch on the TV where they got the Jays game in 30 minutes where they have it in, like, they
yes,
just
put, yes.
We need that.
You want that.
30 minutes.
You want.
This shit is too long and boring, guys.
You know what?
Game 7.
Oh
my God, bro. I mean.
But game 7? Come on. That was a great game,
that
man.
Night. That was the night that Steph broke his hand.
Yes,
so
it was.
So I was watching that game. I wasn't even watching.
Come on, man. No. You weren't even watching game 7.
Oh, man.
Don't tell Greeny and the rest
and
of the
get-up
crew.
I wanted to try to be, you know, like be a good analyst and have like
break
some
it down.
Depth.
Yeah.
I had nothing.
You had nothing?
I had absolutely
so
nothing.
What were they? So they're asking you, like, what'd you think of AJ Hinch's decision to leave
Greeny? I literally had to watch highlights on the way driving down that morning.
Oh, my gosh.
And saw that, you know, he took Greinke out with 74 pitches, which is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, Rendon hitting a homer. Rendon's a superstar.
Oh my gosh.
Nobody even really knew that until this postseason,
right?
Huh?
I know
I didn't.
Yeah, I had no idea how good he was.
Hit some big homers, some clutch homers, and then he started every rally, it seemed like.
Yeah.
In the middle of every rally that they had this whole postseason, it seemed like Rendon was in the middle of it. And you know, he kind of started off with a big homer right there. But yeah, it was crazy trying to, you know, put my analyst hat on and be an analyst and have some depth to what I was talking about. I had absolutely fucking nothing, guys.
Oh, man,
nothing.
No, come on.
But then I got to do Inside the NFL.
Yeah.
And I fell right at home.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I watch NFL games. Yeah. I have some depth to what I'm talking about.
Oh,
know what I'm saying.
Gosh, this is so funny. So basically, you want to get hired to be an analyst for anything but
baseball.
Yeah, exactly.
I do fucking X games.
Oh, man. You know what? This is what I say, though. Like,
that's why, like, if I did have to be a baseball, it would have to be the Yankees because I have to watch it live.
Yeah, because you know the Yankees. You know?
Yeah, I know the guys, and I know, you know, I can really talk to Yankees.
Right, Yankees, you know. But here's the thing I say. Like, now I could put the Yankees on every night. I will never watch a random Cardinals-Reds game. Like, that never interests me, you know?
Yeah.
But in the playoffs, I can because the stakes are there, you know? Like, because it's a big event. It's a big game. So
it's
so
still
the
boring,
thing,
though.
But if
unless
you have,
you know the guys.
If you don't have
like
a dog
you,
in a fight.
But you just said, like, the Cardinals and the Reds. Like, I can watch the Cardinals and the Reds because I know Dex is there, Yachty's there. Like, I can watch guys that I know. It's harder for me to watch game 7.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody on any fucking team.
Yeah.
I don't care who the fuck wins. Like, I don't, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you just said the Cardinals and the Reds. Like, I'm thinking, like, I might watch that if Sonny's pitching.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
so you know
it's got to be my guys, I guess.
So the point you are making is why stories are so key in sports that are not huge action sports, right? Like, boxing or, like, basketball or football, the action sustains itself, right? But, like, baseball is a sport where you need to feel some kind of hook. Because you need to care about the result. Because if you don't, the action doesn't sustain itself.
No,
you know?
I can't do it.
It's almost like the Olympics. You know, you end up like getting into these sports that might otherwise be boring because you have a hook.
Yeah,
of the story.
But the Olympics is so amazing. Yeah, just because of what people go through to get there.
Yes.
And, you know, for me, I mean, it is like, you know, I'm always thinking about, damn, like, that guy just blew it. He's been training 4 fucking years to get to this one spot, and he fucking didn't stick the landing. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit is like I'm really, like, into that shit.
I know what you mean, though. Like, whenever I would see that first scene from Cool Runnings, I would be like, oh, my! It would just, like, hurt my gut, you know? All right, before we get more into this, let's just take a quick break to talk about Omax. Now, today's show is sponsored by Omax. Visit omaxhealth.com and enter code R2C2 to get 20% off. Whether you're a professional athlete, weekend warrior, or someone who deals with aches and pains, finding a natural remedy that instantly works might seem impossible. Most over-the-counter pain relievers only focus on one basic cooling effect, which temporarily takes your mind mind off the pain until it returns. If you're looking to get rid of nagging muscle and joint pain immediately while providing long-lasting recovery, then you need to try the natural breakthrough pain relief solution, CryoFreeze CBD, developed by Omax Health. This non-prescription triple-action pain relief roll-on is specially formulated to block pain receptors, reduce inflammation, and improve muscle and joint flexibility. The best part is this 100% natural CBD-powered remedy works its magic within 10 minutes of application, and relief lasts up to 8 hours, much longer than the over-the-counter products. We're actually doing the podcast today from my apartment. I have this product here and use it frequently. It is fantastic. Omax Health is offering our listeners 20% off a full bottle of CryoFreeze Pain Relief Roll-On, plus free shipping. This discount also applies towards any product site-wide. Just go to omaxhealth.com today and enter code R2C2 to take advantage of this incredible savings. Don't let muscle soreness stop you from living an active lifestyle. Go to omaxhealth.com, enter code R2C2, and feel relief faster. Now, I would say this, see, I felt invested in the Astros losing, and I think that also helped me get into it. Like, I was rooting hard for the Nationals, man. I really was.
Yeah.
You weren't, though, huh? You didn't care one way or another?
I really didn't. After, like, we lost, I didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, that was it. That's part of it, though, too, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if next year you'll be any more into the World Series. Although, maybe the Yankees will be in it, so you would be then.
If the Yankees in it, I probably will be.
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking, like why I didn't care about the – because I usually want the team that beat us to fucking lose.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why. I'm with you. Like, I would have been rooting for the Nationals, but maybe just because I'm done, like, I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, no. I didn't care who won that. I was happy that Max won.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And
it was cool to see. I almost felt like he didn't pitch game 5 because he knew game 7. You know what I'm saying?
It was cool to
see him empty the tank, man. I love watching that dude because you know he's going to give you fucking whatever he's got.
Yeah.
That day you getting it, and he was hurting. He gave you, you know, 5 strong innings, had a bunch of people on base, but, you know, he was good, man. That was gritty.
It was so gritty. And, you know, you could tell, like, he kept them in the game,
yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, he's got a million base runners, and he just found a way to make
keep
a big
right
pitch
there.
When he needed to.
Yeah.
Right? Like, simple as that. Keep him in the game. How about, obviously, Yankee fans will be curious about the Larry Rothschild dismissal. He mm-hmm. was your pitching coach for
9 years.
For 9 years, man. I mean, obviously, you know, there's a million things. Rather than get into, I'm not obviously going to ask you, what did you think of the decision, CC? But, like, just give us an idea of what it was like to work with Larry and maybe, you know, some of the things you'll miss from him or what he brought to the table.
Larry was awesome, man. Larry was super prepared. He always had us, like, I mean, super prepared for a person that didn't prepare at all. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, I didn't do shit. And Larry would always come up with the game plans, you know? So,
got you.
He was great for me. And, you know, I have to credit him with helping me learn the cutter, you know, the second part of my career. You know, he was definitely pushing for that and, you know, was helping me every step of the way. So, you know, me and Larry had a great relationship. It didn't start off the greatest, you know? Just because, you know, I always felt like he was there to fix AJ. Mm. More so than, like, be our pitching coach. And it turned out, you know, he was there to be a great pitching coach and help us, you know, try to get to the next level. And you know, once we started getting our relationship going, it's been great. And it's always been good. And, you know, I'm definitely going to miss him.
Yeah, he was one of the dudes I liked talking to.
I got a lot of TV shows from him.
You certainly did,
A
man.
Lot of TV shows from Larry.
What's
surprising, right? Like, people, yeah. Yeah,
like, you wouldn't think he's the guy.
Peaky Blinders. Yeah. I mean, all those shows like that, that was all Larry.
Which I'm really into Peaky Blinders now, man.
Oh, yeah,
I still
you just
got
started?
A ton left, but I am loving it, man.
Oh, yeah, it's a great show.
It's fantastic. Like, I love it. I love the song in the beginning, too. Mm-hmm. Like, it gets me jacked up. I literally was just listening to Ed Norton on Joe Rogan's podcast talk about how that show is like one of those things that proves that, like, we have an appetite for things that maybe you think you need a longer attention span for. You know, like, we always talk about, like, oh, people's attention spans. Podcasts are a testament to, like, no, sometimes people want a nice long form conversation, right? Like Peaky Blinders isn't one of those shows like pop pop like every 4 seconds, right? Like you feel like some sort of connection to the nuance of the characters.
Yeah, building the characters and stuff. Yeah, for sure.
I like it. All right, how about Chappie coming back for an additional year? You pumped about that?
Yeah, I'm excited. I was happy that Cash was able to get that done, especially Chappie having the year he had.
He
could have went on the free agent market and got some money. So. Him wanting to be here and Cash getting it done is, it means lies good for the future. It's good for the bullpen. I mean, now that we've had the, what I think is the best bullpen in the league the last couple of years, I want that every year.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You get used
to
it.
We need a great bullpen.
Yeah, yeah.
Like all the time.
Yeah.
So I want Brett, Chappie, Otto. I want Dylan back. Like,
yeah.
I need everybody back. So, it's just a step in the right direction to make sure that bullpen's, still the strength of the team.
What's crazy is, as great as the bullpen was this year, Dellen can be the best piece of it if he's healthy. Like, and you guys didn't have him all year save the two batters he faced, right? Like, imagine, as nasty as it was, how much better it can even be if you have healthy Dellen all year.
Yeah, or even, us as starters going deeper. Going deeper, throughout the season, it gives these guys, a little bit of a break. I feel like Otto – may have been, he got used a lot, especially there at the end. So, could save him and be a little fresher, for the end of the season.
What I realize I want to – just going back to the pitching coach. Now they're going to obviously hire a new one. And, of course, we got bombarded with tweets. Yo, tell CC he needs to be the new pitching coach.
Yeah, right. Fuck no. Coaches get hired to be fired, bro.
And I
– fuck that. I'm not being no coach.
Oh, man. I said I didn't feel like I was stepping out of line when I responded, I am telling you there is a 0% chance of that.
Yeah. Yo, so when I was fucking around with Carlos during the playoffs and I knew he was going to get that mesh job.
Yeah.
So I walked by and was like, yo, pitching coach. And like the way he looked at me, I had to be like, no, wait. Listen, I was just fucking around. I'm just playing.
You might still get a call, man.
I can tell the way he looked at me. He was like, wait, what?
Oh, that's hilarious, yeah. Man. You might end up still getting a call like about, hey, to be the pitching coach. So let me ask you this then. Because I want to get your perspective on Beltran, but the new pitching coach, what do you think, what are the ingredients they need to have in today's, landscape when it comes to baseball?
I just think that somebody that, obviously it's a lot of information. You got the rap solo, you got different things, you got all this stuff when you're throwing bullpens, you got all this analytics and all this stuff.
The edumatronic cameras and stuff.
All of that shit.
Yeah.
You need somebody that can not only, not only get you the information, obviously relay the information in a way that you can use it, but they also need to show you.
Mm.
Like if, my slider breaks at this axis with this grip and blah, 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 I need cameras to show me where my hand needs to be. I need the pitching coach to be able to show, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like somebody's got to be able to relay. It's good to have all this information.
Yeah.
How the fuck do I use it?
Yes, yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
like
yes.
Somebody needs to be able to show us how to use, I keep saying us, show these guys how to use all of this stuff.
Well, you're going to work for the team. Saying? You can still say us.
Well, I won't be using it.
Yeah, no, exactly.
But it's got to be somebody that can tie all of this stuff in, tie all of this stuff up, because the guys want this information.
Yeah.
Guys want to get better.
Yeah.
We see what's happening in Houston and
how
they're figuring, they figured it out.
Yes.
They figured out they figured out how to get the analytics to the player and how to use it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's easy to get analytics to guys, but how the fuck do we apply it?
Yeah.
So that's the biggest thing.
That's a great, great point, because it's one thing to have information,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Well, you need to throw your slider this axis and this. Well, how?
Yeah.
How the fuck do I do that? Somebody come fucking show me.
Exactly.
Quit talking at me and telling me what I need to do.
Yeah, right. Well, see, now this is why I truly believe, and I don't want to lose him as a broadcast partner, but this is why I believe David Cone would be an unbelievable pitching coach, because he has fully embraced analytics, unlike any baseball analyst I've seen. But he also, he's done it. This dude has been a pitcher at the highest levels, and competed. And, I don't think he's not going to, just blindly tell you, hey, right, this is the axis, whatever. He's going to know, oh, yeah, by the way, I know at this time of the game might be a little harder for you to get around this pitch. Or, well, I don't know, whatever it might be. But I feel like you almost need someone. You can't have someone who's just straight analytic nerd,
it's
right?
It's got to be somebody that can do both.
Yes.
that's in the middle of it.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. somebody and communicate.
That, yeah, it's got to be somebody that can dumb it down to tell you, hey, put your fucking hand, get the ball out and put it here.
Yeah.
And that can, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's got to be dumb enough for a guy like me, because like a guy like me, like, hey, you know, for me, it's just, you know, get the ball out and get it out in front.
Yeah.
Like, you can't tell me a bunch of different shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's not going to work for me.
Right.
Like, just tell me, hey, your arm's late, get the ball out.
Yeah.
Cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's got to be simple one, like,
yeah.
It's got to be simple for some guys. It's got to be more for some guys. It's got to be more for a guy like Jay Happ. It's got to be simpler for a guy like Monty.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yes. Right. You don't want to take a protractor to the mound and have to be figuring out angles.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
it's like, wait, is this right? Is this right? Now all of a sudden you're thinking on every release.
Much.
Like, yeah, yeah, I get it, man. You know what? Along those lines.
I don't want to make it seem like Monty's not smart. Monty's smart.
No, no,
Monty
no.
went to South Carolina. He's a smart kid. I'm just saying.
You're saying what? Hey, man, like, you're talking about, like, how you receive information, right?
Yeah.
Like, we all receive information differently, and you're putting yourself in the same category. You don't want, like, a bunch of different things.
I can't.
Yeah.
That's not the way I work.
So just tell me how to do it easily. Yeah. Somebody actually, along those lines, you know, in our Twitter questions, one of the questions was about the coaches. Who had it? Oh, Graham Osi, I think is how you say his name. How much impact do coaches have on player performance at the major league level?
I think they have a lot of impact. I think I think more than you think.
That's interesting.
Because, I mean, they're there. They're pounding whatever message they have into your head all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, you tend to kind of pitch or play or hit the way you're coached. You know, I mean – regardless if you want to or not.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think they have like I said, for somebody like me that did no research or anything like that, Larry was huge for me.
Yeah.
You know, as far as game planning and, you know, coming in during the game and like, hey, you know, different pitches, like, hey, this guy may be a little more aggressive than we thought. You know,
yeah.
So just little stuff like that. You know, they play a huge impact, I think.
How do you think Beltran will do as manager?
Oh, I think he's going to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's going to be great.
What are the things about him? Because I remember even a couple years ago when he was interviewing, you said, like, hey, I think he can be awesome. What are the things about him that make you think, yo, this guy's going to be?
I mean, just he's super smart, man. Baseball IQ is off the charts. Like, he knows what he's doing. I mean, he knows how to work relationships with players, with people. He can lead, you know, a group, a room, you know, a team. You know, I think he's got every quality that you need to have as a manager. You know, I think he's going to work the bullpen well. I don't think he's going to get overwhelmed by game situations. I think he's going to be good.
Is he the kind of dude who, like, if he's, like, angry, is he going to be, like, reading the players the riot act? Is he going to kind of be, like, chill all the time? Like, how do you see him temperament-wise as a manager?
Temperament-wise, that's a good question. I think he will be like a player's manager.
Mm.
I don't think he's going to be going in there going crazy all the time. I think if you do some shit wrong, he's definitely going to
tell you.
Pull your coattail and tell you. But I don't think that he's going to go in there super authority, you know?
Mm-hmm. How about Joe G in Philly? What do you think about your former manager?
I think Joe's
going
to be good, man. Joe's got a lot of talent on that roster.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, we know he can manage, you know, talent and you know, superstars and, you know, having Bryce Harper there. So, you know, Joe does a good job of making guys feel comfortable with their families, bringing their families around and, you know, kind of making it a family atmosphere. So that'll be a change for those guys, maybe.
Yeah.
And, you know, that can energize, you know, when you feel comfortable about bringing your kids
around. Yeah, yeah.
And everybody, you know, it's just makes it a little lighter. And, you know, whatever you have going on at home, Joe wants you to take care of that stuff first. And, you know, it just makes it easier to come play.
You know what's interesting about that perspective is when Sean Marks took over for your new favorite team, the Brooklyn Nets.
Yes, my squad.
Yeah, baby. We got CC on board, which just reminds me.
Nah, but I don't know. Y'all keep losing fucking games. I might have to bounce.
No. Don't bounce. Stay with us. Stay with us. One of the things I noticed when Sean Marks took over as the GM of the Nets, one of the first things he talked about was, like, the importance of taking care of the families for the players and stuff and making it a family atmosphere and like driving that home. Like, we're going to spend X number of dollars upgrading the family room. We're going to make everything about this. We're going to have days for the families, yada, yada. Like, it was such, it was like a, it wasn't an ancillary focus. It was a primary focus for Sean.
That's awesome.
And it is amazing. Every player who has come through here talking about the experience for them and their families.
Oh,
and
they love it.
Yeah, and then and then the way it gets through to other free agents then too, and like,
oh, you can bring your family, you can bring your kids in, you can do this. Yeah, it's awesome.
Right, like, but I never realized that.
For us though, like, 1 year, it got out of control. we was in Citi Field, and it was Little C, Little Drew, what's Andy's youngest son's name?
Luke.
Luke Pettit. And like three other kids in there during the game in the clubhouse going fucking bananas, hitting balls, running around and shit. And I kind of walked out to like go to my locker to maybe check my phone or something. And I like turned the corner and looked and saw, and I just went back down to the, I'm not going to deal with this shit. I'm going to go back down to the dugout.
I don't need to play dad during the game.
I'm
going to
let somebody else deal with this.
Oh, my gosh.
It was Little C. It was Drew. It was Luke. It was a bunch of them.
Oh, my gosh.
They was in there going crazy. But look, Joe was cool. Like, he would let you bring the boys in all day.
Wow.
Like, I used to bring Little C in at 1 o'clock. He would stay all day.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it was crazy.
That's amazing, man.
Yeah, it was fun.
Oh, that's crazy. That is funny, man. When it comes to free agency and what's going on now, I just make sure the Yankees get Cole or Strasburg, right? That's what I'm giving. I'm putting this on you.
It seems like Strasburg might go to San Diego.
Feels
that's
that
what
way,
I'm
huh?
feeling.
All right, go get Cole then. All right, just get it done for the Yankee fans.
They need it. They need Cole.
Yeah, we're gonna put it on you. All right. Somebody actually asked a good question about this. They said if the Yankees, it was Andrew Open Show. So if the Yankees asked, would you speak to Cole about your experience pitching with them as a West Coast guy?
Me and Gerrit Cole have spoken at length many times about me pitching as a Yankee, as a West Coast guy.
Ooh, I like that, man. He's a free agent. You could talk about it. I like it, man. Okay, so the answer is yes.
The answer is yes what?
The answer is yes, you would talk to him because you're
already. We have. Yeah. It's already happened.
I like it. Good.
It's already happened.
Go get him, see.
This is crazy. You know how this is like shaping out like the same the offseason that I had. Like,
yeah.
Everybody here going crazy, like blah, blah, blah. He don't want to come here. He don't want to come here.
Yeah.
You offer that motherfucker enough money, he going to want to come here.
It's as simple as that.
I'm speaking from experience.
Well, that's what I say, is I'm like, yeah.
You offer him enough money, he'll pitch on the moon, because
well, and also,
it don't matter.
Also, he didn't get his World Series, you know? Like, so if you give him the money and you know he's got a ready-made team.
Okay, so that's
team,
why I think Strasburg is going to San Diego.
Because
he got a ring. The only thing I feel like that might keep him away from San Diego is that they are looking to win.
Yeah.
And they're going to be looking for him. They're going to give him a lot of money. They're going to be looking for him to, like, lead them to the World Series again.
Yeah.
Where he already did that. You
think
know what
he'd
saying?
Rather be, like, part of the supporting cast rather
than
the guy?
I feel like he'd
guy.
Rather be part of the supporting cast rather than the guy at this point because he already did that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, but when you did it, did you not want to be the guy again? Because, like, you were the guy in 09. You probably wanted to be the guy again, though, didn't you?
I didn't care.
Okay.
Didn't matter to me either way. Like, I was excited to pitch and was trying to win again but it didn't matter if I had to be the ALCS MVP and all of that shit. That didn't matter. It mattered at the time before I had it.
Yeah.
But after that, it didn't matter. It would have just been I want to be on a good pitching staff to win.
If you would have been a free agent, like the year after you won the World Series, because the Yankees brought you in here to be
the
lead horse.
I probably would have left.
You would have wanted like a situation where you weren't being relied on that way.
Probably.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Yeah. It's a heavy burden?
It's a heavy burden. It's just like being the guy, like the
ace
or whatever on a team is stressful.
Yeah.
Like, you got to win every fucking start.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, if you're on a squad with Scherzer and Corbin, like, and, you know, when I had AJ and I had Pettit, like, 09, I had no pressure because Andy was the guy.
Yeah.
I was the – yeah, I mean, whatever. But Andy's the guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Andy's the leader of this pitching staff. Like,
yeah.
I came in with no pressure. Like, I just – you know, it is what it is. Like, if I fail, Andy's going to win.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a good feeling.
So, like, so, like, you want to be a part of a group more so than just be an ace by yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I do. Well, look, like, that's why I think there's appeal to be part of this Yankee team, right? If you are if you're Cole, right? I mean, the
if
money
you
aside.
Cole now, yeah, you got. I mean, he's gonna be the guy, but he's got Seve, who's close.
Yep,
super close, and you got Tanaka, who's the guy, who's a guy,
and
you know
Paxton,
what I mean?
And Al,
and
you got,
Pax, who you know who yeah. can who can turn into that guy too.
Yep,
but
and a pen.
Yeah, and a bullpen. But I wanted to say this. I wanted to just hear like people stop talking about Massa. Like,
yeah.
What are we going to do? Like, get the fuck out. That guy's a fucking dog, bro. Like, yeah. Every time we need somebody to bring it, he brings it. Mm. So I don't want to hear no more shit about Massa and, you know, we don't know what we got. We know what we got.
Yeah.
Motherfucker going to show up every time.
Yeah.
Every fucking time we get to the playoffs, he's going to show up.
I agree.
So.
Oh, he's got one of the greatest playoff ERAs of all time.
Yeah, but like, even still coming into the playoffs this year, we don't know. Yeah. Like, bruh.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
Well, think about it, man. Even, like, you could tell that second start against Houston, even when he didn't have his best stuff, he still put you right in position to win the game.
For sure.
You know?
For sure.
He almost reminds me a little bit of how I felt about El Duque in mm-hmm. the playoffs.
1,000%.
You know? Like,
yeah. You trust him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, even if his regular seasons were like
it is what it
uneven
is.
Or something,
nah.
Come October, you're like,
you're ready.
Boom. Yeah. Like, you know? I mean, it was just it was unbelievable to witness that guy in October. Well, I like it, man. Are you excited about the prospect of being involved, like in the front office and getting into all this stuff?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah,
I am. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah, I think it would be
especially
too.
You know, because I know a lot of the guys and
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
be fun to know the other side.
So, right now, have you been watching the first couple weeks of the NBA season?
Yeah.
Getting into it.
Oh yeah.
Did you see my game on Friday night, the Mavs Lakers game? That went to OT.
I caught the last 3 minutes in the overtime.
That was an amazing.
Yeah, that was
game,
a crazy game,
man. Holy cow!
Danny
dude.
Green hitting that shot in the corner.
Yeah, after Dwight Howard held.
Man, that
Seth
was crazy.
Curry, man. Yeah.
I was thinking, like, how the fuck do you get that wide open? And you see the replay.
Yeah, exactly.
And he was holding him, but what's crazy to me is the Rockets. The Rockets are trash,
man. They are struggling, man.
They can't play no defense.
Yeah, they really can't play defense.
They gave 158
right now.
Points to the fucking Wizards.
That was remarkable.
That's insane.
In regulation.
In regulation.
In regulation.
That's
man.
Insane, cuz.
I know.
Who the fuck, like, who they have to score 158 points?
Well, I don't know.
That's crazy.
I'm doing their game Friday, so
the Rockets
or
the
Wizards, yeah.
They play the Nets or
no,
you have a,
ESPN. So it's interesting. It's Wizards Cavs. Which, no offense to those franchises, but at this moment in time, that normally wouldn't be a national
yeah,
TV game.
That's
right?
Awesome that they're doing that.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of cool because I think what's going to happen, I think they want to put a spotlight on some of the young talent
young
in the
talent.
League.
Who,
you know,
who's
like Sexton for the Cavs, maybe, and like some of the early picks the last couple of years for these teams.
Man.
And then they're going to give us good access, too, I think. So
that's
cool.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
De'Aaron Fox is a beast.
Beast, man. Beast.
Jesus Christ.
He's unbelievable.
They're good. Sack's good.
And. Dude,
Bagley's out right now.
Right. When Bagley comes back.
They're going to be really good.
They
got a really
be.
Good team. Harrison Barnes like, is the old guy now.
I
like,
know, right? No, they cool. have talent, man.
They got
they
a lot
have,
of talent.
They have really I got to tell you, man. I had never watched – I hadn't done a Luka game yet, Luka Doncic. He is a flat-out superstar,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he's a beast.
He's huge.
Yeah.
He's almost 6'7".
Yeah.
And he worked on his body this offseason. Like,
he was soft. You could like he, but he could tell. I mean
– yeah. Right, like last
teenager,
year, you could tell he was kind of
you know
like doughy. Yeah,
he's a teenager,
yeah.
guys. Like yeah. when he turns into a man, he's gonna be fucking.
Oh my gosh,
he's gonna be really good. He's already really good.
Because you know, you look at dudes and you're like, okay, like especially in the NBA, like there's almost like different tiers, and like my top tier is like the superstars that really affect wins and losses. You know, because there are guys who you watch and you're like, damn, that guy's a star, but you know. He's not going to take a 35-win team and make him a 50-win team,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, LeBron's going to take a 25-win team and make him a 50-win
yeah.
team, you know? Luka Doncic, he's a win and loss influencer. That dude is going to take – he's going to take a 35-win team and make him a 45-win team right now. And he has a chance to make him – to take a team and make it – he's got a chance to be an MVP someday.
I think they still 1 year away from making the playoffs, though.
You think they're going to miss it this year?
I think so.
All right, but if you look at the West now and you say that, like, Portland's in,
mm-hmm.
Utah's in.
Denver.
Denver's in. Lakers in. Clippers in. There's another team. Rockets in.
Okay? Yeah.
Because they're still to make it.
And then I had
you'll say OKC out after they were in last year.
Yeah, and I had
there's another team that would be out too. from last year?
I had Sacramento making it.
You have Sacramento making it.
I got Sac making it.
Okay, so you have Sac as a
somebody
seven.
Somebody that we missing in the West.
Oh, who made it last year that, like, let me see. No, in the – what is – let me see the standings. I got it right here. Golden State's not going to make it.
Golden State's not going to make it.
So then what about Dallas is replacing Golden State? Because the other teams you'd have Phoenix.
Was one more team.
Phoenix
That's
is,
who I
or
think.
Minnesota.
That's what I said. Oh, no. I like Phoenix.
You like Phoenix?
Yeah.
So you
I don't think
Phoenix...
Minnesota's going to get in, and I didn't think Dallas was going to get in. I thought Dallas was one year away.
Okay. All right. I think.
And I got Phoenix getting in. But that was before Ayton got fucking suspended for 25 games.
Right. And now they're still winning games, but it's true.
Man, bro, when what's his name broke his hand?
Oh,
they were
man.
Beating the fucking Warriors by fucking 30.
It's crazy, man. I'm so glad you jumped off the Warriors to come join us with the Nets, man.
Yeah, I watched one game. I had to get off of that shit.
They're gonna
one game.
You know what's crazy, man, is
but they're still one player away from getting back to the finals, guys.
Oh, I know it. If they have all their pieces healthy.
If they get the other pieces, they get Klay healthy and Steph comes back and they get another good player.
Yeah.
They right back
and,
in it.
And they could even, like, if D'Lo wasn't a fit with those guys when healthy.
Oh, they could trade him. I don't know who that other player is.
Me either. But you could turn D'Lo into it potentially.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is D'Lo.
What about somebody like Kat?
Oh, man, if they could ever pull that off. I guess Minnesota's not going to do that, though. I don't know if there was a time where they would have, but not now. Because if you're Minnesota, too, like, it's not a place that's as easy to attract free agents.
Oh, no, you can't get
you
got to
hold
there.
On to that talent there, right? Because now with the rules, too, you can offer these guys extensions before they're free. You know? I mean, they can manipulate their way to someplace else, as we've seen, but I'm telling you right now, though, the Clippers look unbelievable, man.
Clippers look good.
And
when Paul George comes back, the defense is going to be even better.
Think about Beverly, PG, and Kawhi all defending, man. Yeah. Like, it is crazy how good they could be.
Yeah.
The team I like a lot that I was on at the beginning of the year, and now they're playing really well, and their over-under was like 43.5, and I was like, to me, I surveyed and I thought that was the easiest over, Miami. Miami's 5-1, man. And I saw the kid Tyler Hero play in Summer League.
He's good.
He's really good.
Yeah.
And Nunn has been amazing.
And I feel like Justice Winslow gets better every year. Like,
yeah.
His game gets better. You know
versatile,
what I'm saying?
Versatile. Like, point. He can be like a
plays
point forward.
Defense.
Yeah.
He can shoot a little bit now.
Yep.
Like, yeah.
And Jimmy on
and
that team.
The East is terrible.
You know
not
what?
So, not as much, you know, but.
It's the East lacks greatness at this point,
yeah,
right?
It's got a bunch of good teams, yeah.
You know? Like, Philly could be great.
You know who's going – I feel like it could be great is Boston.
Yeah, they're defending,
Jason Tatum
too.
Is a fucking star.
He's back to what we thought he was going to be.
Yeah, man, he is unreal.
So
he's almost like his footwork and shit, like, he's damn near unguardable, cuz.
Yeah.
Like, he can get a shot off at any time just because of, like, the way he moves his feet.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that he hit that game winner the other day, like, with the reverse pivot, the way – like, you can't defend what he did.
You can't stop
that. You know what I'm saying? You can't stop that shit.
So let me ask you this. You have – between NBA and NFL, name me the top five guys you get most excited to watch between both sports. Just like CC wants
Watson.
To be entertained. Okay.
Pat Mahomes. I love watching Pat Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
I like to watch Anthony Davis.
Mm-hmm.
I used to like to watch Westbrook, but I don't really like to watch the Rockets because I don't like to watch Harden that much.
Just isolate the whole game.
Yeah. But I love watching Westbrook, just like his intensity, like the way he is intensity and wise and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of another hooper that I like to watch play. I like to watch Tatum.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Paul George.
Yeah.
And I put Paul George and Dame Lillard together.
Yeah, yeah.
I love watching Lillard, too.
Lillard is a beast, man.
Yeah.
I like that list. That's good, man.
It's a long list.
Yeah,
though.
Well, it was seven instead of five, but that's okay. You know what's funny is I'm realizing, too, like I've known this for a while, getting to do games, but every time I would do a Celtic game over the last couple of years and I would watch Kyrie up close, I'd be like, gosh, damn, he's just nasty, man, like different level. And now getting to call his games, too, even though they haven't gotten off to the start I thought they would, like, just watching him, I'm like, oh, he is so talented.
He's
like,
good, man. But do you think – okay, so I was thinking, like, you know, Caris LeVert was on his way to being like an all-star. You think it's going to like set him, take him back a couple steps now, like because he's just, you know.
No, I don't think, because Kyrie is ball dominant like that. I don't think so. I think Caris will find his, I think because he started to find his spots last couple, like last game he had like a quarter where he put in like 12 or something like that. Like I think Caris will find his spots. I do, because he's gotten better on the catch and shoot. He's pretty good cutting off the ball, and I do think like Kyrie is good off the ball still, you know. So I think when they find the rhythm and the chemistry, it will work, you know. I do,
because I mean I was rooting for him to, you know, keep developing and get better.
Oh man, and we know he's such a great dude, guy, man. Yeah, is the Caris is the greatest dude. We need to have him back on the pod,
yeah,
man.
That'd be awesome.
He's the greatest dude. What about what about your Raiders, man?
Raiders, we got to win. We 4-4.
I know, man. I'm saying,
we
like,
gotta win this week.
Are you starting to get hopeful? You starting to think like, okay, all right, like my team's got a little something going on.
Nah,
here. No,
nah.
You're not there yet.
Nah.
Okay,
we still, you know, I mean, we beat the Chargers this week.
Yeah,
you know,
yep, exactly.
But Pat Mahomes being out might help us a little bit.
It very well should,
but we'll see.
All right, I got a couple more audience questions here. See, John Faracci 21 says, which Yankee would win a one-on-one hoops tournament?
Dylan's a pretty good hooper.
Yeah.
Somebody told me that. Oh, you know, Cam.
Oh, really?
Cam's a good hooper, yeah.
Interesting, man. Yeah. How tall is Cam?
Probably like 6'4", 6'5", maybe.
That's pretty good size,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he's like 6'4".
He's a cut-up
dude,
man.
His first cousin is Rashawn McCants.
Oh.
So they played growing up playing together and all that stuff. And, you know, he's got a bunch of cousins in the
NFL.
Yeah,
I know. His cousins are athletes. So, it's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Ronnie Cho, who was part of the Obama White House administration, tweeted at us saying, we need to know what the four fingers you guys flashed throughout the whole season meant.
You got to ask somebody else.
Sorry, Ronnie. I thought maybe Ronnie's government pressure might influence. Ronnie's going to have to ask someone else.
Man, you got
to
ask somebody else about that.
All right. Sierra Pasquale says, no question. I just want to say that as a fellow sober kid, CeCe is a true inspiration for being so open about his sobriety. It always helps a lot to remember there are more of us. All love, man.
Oh, thank you. I just saw something on my that's awesome.
That's cool, right?
I just saw something on my phone where they were saying that the Yankees didn't offer Didi the qualifying offer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, see? All right. What do you think happens there, man? I don't know how much you could say and not say, but like, do you think it's a 50-50 deal right now if he's back or not? Or
man, I thought that for sure that they would, like, it would be the qualifying.
Yeah. It's interesting, right? Like I wonder what's gonna happen with him. I know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could still come to terms on a deal. It's just he's not – if he leaves now, you won't get a pick.
You won't get a pick.
And he can't accept the 1 year, $17.8 million or whatever it would have been.
Yeah, it's like, you know? 17.9 or something
like
that.
I think coming back from injury this year, I think messed a little bit with Didi's chi, you know, the energy he has and brings. And so I'm curious what will happen. I love that guy, though. He's one of the most interesting dudes I've ever come across. He's great at everything he does. It's like photographer, indoor skydiving.
He's good at everything.
It doesn't matter, man. It doesn't matter. The Flying Lion wants to know our thoughts on The Mandalorian, which will release November 12th on Disney+, the Star Wars series. Have you seen the
I haven't seen
the trailer?
No, but I can't wait to get this Disney+.
Yeah.
App.
Oh, it's going to be sick, man.
It's
going
to be sick. But I haven't seen the trailer for that yet.
You got
to
see it.
Yeah,
I'll send it to you. So, Jon Favreau is the executive producer of it. It looks unbelievable, man.
Really?
I think. But it's set in the period between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens.
Okay.
So, between 6 and 7, following a bounty hunter.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, I think it should be.
And it's a series?
And it's a series.
Is it like Netflix where they all come out at once?
They're going to release, I think, 2 episodes the first week and then 1 a week, but on the app. You want it all at once?
Yeah, what the fuck?
I want to piecemeal it so I got something to look forward to,
man.
Nah,
I don't want that week by week shit is garbage.
Really?
Give it to me so I can watch it how I want to watch
man,
it.
Man, I like the week by week because it gives me something else to look forward to, be excited about, man.
I'm not looking forward to that bullshit.
No?
Like, no, because I want, like, if I'm watching it, like, yeah, no. Like, Netflix ruined everything. Well, just put it all out.
Well, so what about our podcast audience? Here they are patiently waiting for every Thursday.
Yeah.
So?
We can put it all, we can do like 8 episodes. Put them all out at once. So
is this your vow to our audience that if we ever store a bunch of episodes,
we put we'll them all out. Them? We put them all out.
All right. That's so your vow.
So if you're on a long trip, you can listen to us the whole time.
We'll get back. So you know what? By the time we're back, because our next pod will be Thursday, December 5th, that gets released, Mandalorian will be out. So we'll be able to let you know at least how episodes like I'll 1 through 5 of Mandalorian
are.
Yeah, you're being
a sling. And I'll probably been have watched all of that. Well, I can't watch it all because they fucking released it week by week.
You'll have released
what's
out.
How bullshit is
that? You'll have watched what's been released. How many, are you doing your knee too?
Nah, not yet.
My poor guy over
here. I got to figure my knee
apart.
Out first.
Oh, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, I got to figure my knee out, man, right now.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
But enjoy your travels.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. This is going to be fun.
And remember, everybody, rate, review, subscribe. New episodes every Thursday. The next episode will be Thursday, December 5th.
December 5th.
Yeah, that's right. And the next day is C's big Christmas party for the Boys and Girls Club.
Yes, sir.
All right. And if people, they want to contribute, they can always go to your Pitch In Foundation website.
Yes.
And they can donate.
Pitch.org, yeah, with 2 C's.
Hey, we should real quickly give a shout out to Matt Siegel.
Oh yeah.
For running. Yeah, he ran the marathon. For the pitch-in,
he ran
running
for pitch
group.
In.
Yep.
He made it.
He made it to the end of the marathon. Our buddy, part of the group chat. You'll hear him on the group chat episode.
He said he's about to throw up.
Yeah, I bet, man. Oh my gosh. Congrats to Matt, all the runners from the marathon, and we'll be back next Thursday.
Yes, sir.
Peace. Wait, see, not next
nah,
Thursday.
Next
wait.
December 5th.
Yeah, we'll be back Thursday, December 5th. There we go. Now peace.